God is bigger than any giant, any problem that we face in this life. Amen. No, you know, isn't it easy to say amen or, you know, glory to God or whatever to that? But the question is, do you really believe it? That God is bigger than anything you're ever going to face in your life, any time in your life.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and welcome. If you're tuning in for the first time, we're currently airing Pastor Bill's study of the Old Testament book of Joshua. In this next section of the study, Pastor covers chapters 13 through 16. You know, we're never too old to make new conquests of faith in the power of the Lord. No matter how old we become, we must never retire from trusting and serving the Lord. Now, Pastor Bill with today's message, Inheritance, what a beautiful word.
Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua, the Old Testament. We're going to be in chapter 13. Matter of fact, we're going to go through three chapters tonight, but not verse by verse. You know, tonight I want to talk to you about inheritance. Oh, inheritance is a beautiful, beautiful word. And, you know, the children of Israel, there they are, you know, 400 years in slavery in Egypt, and then the four decades of wandering in the wilderness because of the disobedience of the people. And then finally, year after year after fighting, the land of Canaan becomes the land of Israel. They inherit the land. God gives them the land and so forth. So tonight, as we look in chapter 13 of Joshua, let's study the word inheritance out here. It says in verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him," Joshua, you're old, "advanced in years, and there remains very much land to be possessed. And this is the land that yet remains." And you can read that later or whenever in verses 2 through 6 there. But, you know, before Joshua is able, and he's actually, we're rushing through now because he's really wanting to give his farewell address there in chapter 24 and so forth. But, you know, before he does that, God says, "You know what, Joshua, you're old, and your fighting days have now, they've come to an end, and I have another job for you. I want you to distribute the land, the inheritance of the children of Israel, to all of the tribes." So look there at verse 6. God tells him, he says, "And all the inhabitants of the mountains of Lebanon, as far as the brook Amisrapus, and the Sidonians, then I will drive out from before you the children of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance." Say that word with me, inheritance. And God says, "As I've already commanded you." So he's saying, listen, Joshua, this is your only duty now, and you must divide the land out. "Now, therefore, divide this land," as there's that word again, "an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." So if you looked up in your concordance or whatnot, you'd find that the word inheritance is used 61 times in the book of Joshua, and it's used 313 times in the entire Bible. Inheritance, oh, it is a beautiful word. It is a wonderful, wonderful word. You see, the Jews, they didn't really win the land of Canaan. They didn't even really earn the land of Canaan. And matter of fact, they didn't even purchase the land. God gave it to them, amen? The battle was the Lord's, and God enabled them to take all of the land. And besides that, the land actually belongs to the Lord. It says in Leviticus 25:23, the land, talking about the land of Canaan, it says, "It'll not be sold permanently, for the land is mine," God says. And listen to what he says now about Israel. "For you are strangers and sojourners with me," meaning in the land of Canaan. God says, "You know, the truth is, I own the land. You're renting from me, in a sense. And you know what? You're my guest. And you're going to stay in the land. You're going to enjoy the fruit of the land. You're going to enjoy the wells that you didn't dig, the houses that you did not build. You're going to enjoy all of the things of the land as long as you obey me. As long as you don't do things contrary to the covenant that has been made." Remember the blessings and the cursings? God says, no, that's how you're going to stay in the land. So the dividing of the land really is pretty much self-explanatory. And so you can read through there later if you like and study all that out. But I want you to look at verse 14. It says only to the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. In other words, no land is a possession. But the sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. So they were allotted the sacrifices. Remember when we studied out all the way back in Numbers chapter 35, I believe it is, verses 1 through 8. We studied out all about the Levites and how God had selected them and so forth. And they were the tribe of Levi, completely set apart unto the Lord. And God was literally their inheritance. Oh, what a blessing that is. Amen. And so they worked there in the tabernacle, and they did so, the Bible teaches us, in the prime of their life. They could only start working in the tabernacle when they were 25 years of age, and they had to cease from any labor in the tabernacle proper at the age of 50. So they were able to work there for 25 years, giving God their absolute best. And so the other tribes were to provide cities, remember, for the Levites. So when they were not serving, they could go into these cities, and they would have, actually there were 48 cities, and they would go into these cities, and there would be pasture land provided for them, for their flocks and their herds and so forth. And when we get to Joshua chapter 21, we'll find out the list of those cities and so forth. Now, let's look in chapter 14. The land now is divided west of the Jordan, but I want to focus on verse 6 tonight. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Judah, remember, now that was the largest of all the tribes, the most prominent. And they came to Joshua, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. So Caleb comes up and starts talking with Joshua. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were one of the two faithful spies of the 12 that spied out the promised land and came back and gave the good report unto Moses and so forth. Now, Caleb is going to be the very first one to receive his inheritance. Joshua, he'll be the very last one. And so, you know, you look at this and you say, oh, what a great man. He's coming up and he's talking with his old friend. I mean, they were both there together all this time. And a great warrior. And, you know, I don't understand why anyone would name, and I don't mean this against if you've named your child Caleb, okay? I don't mean any disrespect there at all. And I don't know what Caleb would mean today, but it's a beautiful name. Let's put it that way. I'm getting myself, make sure I'm out of trouble. But you know, I'm puzzled why anyone in the Hebrew language would call their son dog, because that's what Caleb means. And that's why I'm saying, well, I don't know why. Was he not wanted, or was he ferocious like a dog or something? You know, did he chew a bone as a child? I don't know what it was. And you know, you have to wonder yourself about that. But the thing is, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. Caleb is a great name. It is. And it signifies a great man. Amen. And so look at verse 7. He continues his speech to Joshua. He says, you know, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. You know, remember now Caleb, Joshua, and 10 more, they were sent out to spy out all the land of Canaan, all the way back in Numbers 13 and 14, okay? And Caleb came back and he told him what was in his heart. Matter of fact, it tells us in Numbers 13:30, it says when Caleb came back, he quieted the people before Moses and said to them, oh, listen, let us go up right now. Let us take possession immediately, for we are well able to overcome it. And it also in Numbers 14:6, it says, and Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who spied out the land, they tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Is that a great report? That is a great report. And you remember what the children of Israel did when Joshua and Caleb gave them that report? It says that they rose up, all the congregation of Israel, and they were going to stone them. They were going to kill them. Why? Because they had lied? No. Because they committed adultery? No. because they told the truth. Do you know the truth is never very popular? Isn't that true? The truth is not popular. People, there's a lot that just, they hate the truth. Can you imagine standing before all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness, 11 miles down the road is the promised land, and we only have two people that believe God and believe that they can take it. You know, Caleb refused to go along with the majority, 2 million people maybe. He refused to let them define his destiny. Don't ever let anybody define your destiny but God. Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Look at verse 8 now. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. In other words, they sapped all the courage out of their heart. The people gave the terrible report. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your what? Inheritance and your children's inheritance, if I'll put that in there, and how long? Forever. Because the reason you have wholly followed the Lord my God. You know that is spoken six times of this man, Caleb? You know, all the rest of the children of Israel, except for those two, Joshua and Caleb, what did they do? They died in the wilderness because they rebelled against the Lord, because they were unbelieving. There were the giants frightened them and said that, you know, we look like a bunch of grasshoppers and so forth. But you know what? Caleb, he didn't minimize that. He didn't say, you know, walk in denial and say, you know what, yes, there's fortified cities and there are giants in the land. Yeah, they're all there. That's right. He didn't minimize that. But what did he do? He did the same thing that we must do today in our generation. He magnified God. God is bigger than any giant, any problem that we face in this life. Amen? No, you know, isn't it easy to say amen or, you know, glory to God or whatever to that? But the question is, do you really believe it? That God is bigger than anything you're ever going to face in your life, any time in your life? And you know what? That is what separates the boys from the girls. Amen? I don't know if that works right, but it sounded all right. No, that is so important, you know. I mean, we're not here just for a Bible study tonight, are we? Aren't we here to believe God's word? You know why Caleb's heart didn't melt? All the other people's heart, it melted, meaning they didn't have any courage. Why was Caleb's heart full of faith and full of courage? It says because he wholly followed the Lord. Man, and I think about all the bad days he had to have had there 40 years in the wilderness for something he didn't even do. Oh, man. Look at verse 10. And now behold, the Lord, I love this, the Lord has kept me alive. In other words, I've done more than survive, man. I'm thriving. And look what he says. He said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. You know what? When I'm 85, if I make it that far, I'm going to preach this sermon from this pulpit on this text. Amen. It says, here I am, I'm 85 years old, and watch what he says, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength, and look what it's for. For what? For war, both for going out and for coming in. Now look what he says. This is incredible. This 85-year-old man of God. He says, now therefore, he's speaking to Joshua. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how Anakim was there, meaning the giants, the ones who terrified the other 10 spies. He says, that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I'll be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. In other words, here he is. Now listen, he's 85 years old and he's in his last days. And what does he request? All I need is my lazy boy, my remote control, and maybe a garden to go out, you know, and chase the bugs off the tomatoes or something. You understand? Is that what he said? No, you know what he said? He said, I want that mountain. I'm 85 years old and I still have another mountain I want to climb. I still want to take it. I want to take it right now. And matter of fact, here's the mountain I want. I want the mountain where the Anakim, the giants are. You know what? The ones that scared all those other sissies to death. I want that mountain, Joshua. I want to go up there. I want to go to the place where those fear landed in the hearts of those other spies, and I want to take it. I'm going to tell you, there's something to be said about a man of faith or a woman of faith. You see, Caleb said, "The Lord is with me." He had faith in the presence of God. He had faith in the power of God. And he had faith in the purpose and plan of God. And that's where our faith should lie tonight. Lord, whatever it is that you want, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what we need to do tonight. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that every Christian can build their entire life upon the promises of God. I mean, can you imagine living for 45 years on just one promise of the Lord? That's what Caleb did. 45 years. He believed this one promise from God that he would not die like the others died in the wilderness, but he would return to the land that he had spied out and receive his inheritance. That's from Numbers 14. What did he do? He hid in his heart faith. The word of God, he hid it right there in his heart. And he waited 45 years for that promise to come to pass. Someone said this, "Our future is as bright as the promises of God." Do you believe that tonight? That's very important because you know what Caleb did? He measured time the way God measures time, not the way we would measure time. He just trusted the Lord. And I think the reason that so many times we get off track, we get out of God's will. We go off on a rabbit trail, or we thought we were supposed to do this, but we weren't supposed to do this, or we walk in presumptuous faith or whatnot. The reason is because we're so impatient. You know, waiting on the Lord is not a bad thing. Amen? I mean, if God's not telling you to get up and do something, don't do it. Do you understand? I'm talking about the unknown will of God. Man, if you don't, we miss so much by simply giving up. What do we wait? We pray and we wait maybe a week for something. Well, it didn't happen. We grow so weary about it all. Listen, he went through 45 years, 40 years of toil there in the wilderness. Now the war that was going or that has been going on, and he's 85 years old. And here's what I find about Caleb. I don't find any regrets in his life. I don't find him complaining about anything. All I find about this man is that he wholly followed the Lord. Whenever you are in the wilderness, wandering in circles, you know what sustained him? Just one promise. All those days he kept focusing. He didn't look at all the problems that were happening there in the wilderness. He just kept focusing on that one promise that God promised him. God cannot lie. Amen. And that's what he did. You see, it says there, look at verse 13. And Joshua, look what he did now. He blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as a what? Inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb to this day because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron, formerly as Kirjath, that means a city of, by the way, the city of Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Remember, the Anakim means the long necks or the giants, the nation of giants there. Then the land had rest from war. He waited 45 years for this promise to come to pass. I know that we who have a better covenant based on better promises can wait on any promise that God has provided. What if we only had one promise to believe? Just one. In other words, just one thing that God has given us. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? Just that one promise. And we say, it's in my heart. It's in my mind. It's more than head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It is rhema. It's living. And I tell you, Lord, I know I can do whatever I'm going to face in this life. I know I can do it through your strength. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he said, you can build your life right. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, hears and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And yes, all the storms of life, it came, but that house didn't fall. We don't want to be the foolish man, do we? We want to be the wise man and do what God says in his word. And it's interesting that he goes over and he talks about Hebron. You know, that's just not a coincidence that he gave Hebron to Caleb. At the very south end of Hebron, you know what was there? The Valley of Eshcol. You remember what that was, that valley? Eshcol means cluster. Let me read it to you here and tell you why it's so important. In Numbers 13:23, and when they, meaning the 12 spies, and Caleb and Joshua, two of them, came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. Can you imagine how heavy that was? And they carried it between them on a pole, and they also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. You know what God did? God fulfilled his promise to the very T. 45 years ago in our text, okay, God promised Caleb. He said, you know, you're of a different spirit. You've wholly followed the Lord. And he said, the very land that you spied out, that your feet had touched, I'm going to give you that land. Can you imagine Caleb going up to the place after 45 years? He had spied it out. He returned with such faith in his heart, only to see the children of Israel weep and cry and say, let us go back to Egypt. And there he goes up, and he's going to take what he wanted in the very first place. Now listen, he inherited Hebron, but he had to fight for it. Do you understand? We have to fight for what God has given us. We're in a war here too as well. We have to put on the armor of God each and every day. Do you know that Caleb was the only one to claim his entire inheritance? He was the only one to drive all of the enemies of the land out of his area. Only Caleb did that. The others, they did not. And I say, oh, Lord, what a great man. What an example we need to follow. Look there, chapter 15 with me, and drop down to verse 13, I believe. Yes, verse 13. Now watch this. And now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave, you notice I pronounce that word different each time I say it. I just wanted to see if you caught that. Okay. He gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Remember the giants, okay? And now Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak, the giants, from there. And the first one was called Noble. That's what that word means in Hebrew. And the next one was My Brother is a Gift. And the next one was Furrowed, the children of Anak. That's what those Hebrew words mean. Now watch this. Then Caleb went up from there, literally it means went up there to battle the inhabitants of Debir, following the name of Debir, Kirjath Sefer, which means the city of the brook. And Caleb said, he who attacks the city of the brook and takes it, to him I will give Achish, my daughter, as a wife. Now look what he did. He had already received his inheritance. And now he does something else. He enlarges his inheritance. You know, when I think about how in Ephesians 1:3, that blessed be the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, they belong to us, but do we ever take them all? So we settle, I think, for so little sometimes in our life. When, you know, God's word is so true. And so he says, no, I'm going to enlarge it. Why is that? Because Caleb said, you know, I'm 85, but I'm not over the hill. I still have a lot of living that I want to do. He was a faithful warrior. Now look at verse 17. So he took all that area, he enlarged his inheritance, and it says, and so Othniel, the son of Kenaz, now that would be Caleb's nephew, okay? When we get to the book of Judges, you'll remember that Othniel is one of the ones that God raises up as a judge there, and I believe it's in chapter 3. It says, and Caleb, and he took it, and he gave it to Achish, his daughter, as a wife, in other words, as a reward. And now it was so that when she came to him, meaning she came to her new husband, that she persuaded him to ask her father, which is Caleb, for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? And she answered, give me a blessing.
Well, Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. As always, thank you for listening today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.